Well, hello there, and welcome to another podcast from Confessions of an Elementary Principal. So, confession, I wish I would have made another podcast sooner than this, but bear with me. None of our jobs are ones that give us a ton of free time, I would say. So let's talk about what happens in the month of October, just in the school setting as educators. I like to think of October as the month of madness. I think that's a pretty accurate description as a teacher or in the office as an aide, as anything. And it's just because there's so much that goes on in the month of October. You know, first of all, when we think about the month of October, there's not any kind of extended break. We have to wait all the way till November to get there. But other things are going on at school, especially in an elementary school. You know, we tend to, in elementary, celebrate a lot of things because it makes it really fun for kids. And, you know, it's always more work for the teachers. But, you know, we're here for the kids. So you guys do a phenomenal job of that. If you're not sure about that, just look down the 5th and 6th grade hall right now at all the Halloween decorations going up. I love that. So let's talk again about October. We end up with a lot of discipline problems in October, and they can be really minor, from kids that normally, you know, are fantastic kids and they don't have any issues at all, to the kids that have issues all the time. They're just kind of exacerbated through the month of October. You know, by the way, in the month of October, October 5th is World Teachers Day. So just throwing that out there, thank you to all the teachers in my world. And October 6th is Mad Hatter's Day. So if you feel like dressing like Alice in Wonderland or the Cheshire Cat or something, I'm fine with it. But during this month, classroom management can become really stressful. Whether you're a veteran teacher or a new teacher, it's still one of those things that you walk through day to day. So we are going to have a PLC on some classroom management techniques that are just really easy that you don't have to plan for to be able to use. And I've actually got a little video up that you can scan the QR code during our next PLC if you'd like to see it. But I want to talk to you about the best classroom management strategy. And it's one that we can kind of overlook in some ways when we focus on strategies that we can use when students are already misbehaving. So what we can do is try to make sure that our classrooms are so engaging that students don't want to misbehave. I'm going to shout out now, of course, she's not the only one. There are tons of people on our campus that do this. But in Ms. Hayes's classroom, when I walk into Ms. Hayes's room, they are always just completely engaged. Well, one day I walked into her classroom and she had a body on the floor covered by a sheet and crime scene tape. And the students had to figure out when this person, quote unquote, had passed away and through what cause. And I've never seen students more engaged. Were they talking? Absolutely. They were trying to figure things out, but they were engaged and they weren't behavior problems, right? Because she took her curriculum and she just took it the extra mile. Engagement, again, is that number one classroom strategy that helps you with your behavior and your management. So how do we do that when we have curriculums that are given to us and a lot of them read like scripts? I'd say when you're a new teacher, it's really good to just get that script under your belt for a year, you know, and just kind of focus on learning the curriculum. Because until we're masters of our curriculum, it's hard to be engaging. But again, it's kind of a catch-22 because on the flip side of that, it's hard to be engaging when you're just reading the script, right? So what do we do with that? I want you and I encourage you to go to YouTube and look up David Burgess. Just type in teach like a pirate and there's a TED talk that he does. And he is dressed like a pirate and he's doing math. And in the very beginning, and I have to tell you, I was pretty engaged in the math part. And you know me, I'm not a math person, but it was really phenomenal. And he kind of talks about how there's like different circles of teaching, right? Okay, now I think that, you know, level one, this is what I'm going to call it, levels. Level one is, you know, we're new and we're learning the curriculum. So we are just trying to give those kids the curriculum at the quality that will help them to be successful, right? But once we have a handle on that curriculum, that's when we can start really engaging students in it, like Ms. Hayes and, you know, the forensic activity that she had students talking about for 2 days, or when we go into Miss K's classroom and suddenly we're transported to the marsh, you know, and students are fishing for decimals. That is a lot of work ahead of time, but there are other things that we can do to be engaging, strategies that we can use, right? But instead of focusing on just strategies, let's focus on what interests you as a teacher about this part of the lesson. Is there something that interests you that you could build on to build that interest with students? I always found in the classroom that when I was able to find something that I thought was really neat or cool or interesting, if I communicated that to kids, they listened more because they are interested in the things that we like. They want to hear about the things that we like. They want to form their opinions and they need us to give them information so that they can do it. But we have to give it to them in a way they can hear it, right? And that's where we're going with Quad D. So in our PLC this time too, we're going to give you, for some grade levels, especially our upper grades, we're going to give you some resources on what it looks like at every level with quads A, B, C, and D. See, now we're not saying you have to stay in quad D all the time because that would be crazy. There are times when we have to do some quad A teaching, but quad A teaching doesn't happen all the time. Quad A teaching is like that level one. It is when you're in the classroom and you say, okay, guys, we are going to learn how to add and subtract. And so you start teaching them how to do addition and subtraction, right? And you ask them, okay, what's 2 + 2? Okay, it's 4, right? So that's quad A. We have to learn how to do something. And quad B is where we take and we can kind of solve problems and apply. So, okay, well, I've taught you how to do this. Now I'm going to let you do some of it on your own. That's quad B. And of course, we're going to use quad B too. It's almost like we've moved from level one to level two. But level three is where kids have to get a handle on some of the things that they're doing and have to bring it to another level. And so in quad C, C for COVID brain. In quad C, what we do is we say, now that you know how to solve these problems, I want you to model it. I want you to work with a partner and determine if something was different, what it would look like then. It's where we start with that problem solving, but it can still be teacher led and it's going to be predictable real world situations. Now, quad D is where we say, okay, you know how to add and subtract. Now I'm going to steal from Teach Like a Pirate. Okay, now I want you to make 4 rows and 4 columns. Okay, every row has to add up to the number 67, but every column has to add up to the number 67. And you have however many minutes. Whoever does it quickest gets a prize, right? These are things that, you know, we're practicing the skills, but it's in a way that they really have to think. And it's in a way that they really, really have to apply everything you've done. And it's challenging. It would be challenging for me right now as an adult. It would be challenging for a kid, but they can do it. You just have to support them to get there. You know, oh, look, everything works except for this one row. Let's keep working on it. It may take them a little while, but that is where Quad D is, where we are living and breathing and working through stuff completely engaged and using it in some unpredictable situation. I go back to college and I think about, when did I learn the most? What do I remember? What classes made a difference to me? Because I think if I try to go back any further, my brain would explode. That's how old I am. And I always think, you know, it was the classes like that. It was the unconventional things that I had to do and apply whatever I knew with, but it was always a little bit unconventional because it made you really have to think. It wasn't something where you could sit back and be like, okay, well, I know how to do this. So it's 4 + 5 = 9. And I love them trying to do math right now. I think about my own child. He's 12. Okay. And he's a pretty smart kid. He's not like about to, you know, fly a rocket to NASA, from NASA or anything, or to the moon. But he's a smart kid, right? So he'll study for a test. I'll be like, how was class? Yeah, it was fine. We just, you know, did some book work. We learned about facts, you know, whatever. And not that he doesn't have great teachers, but the things that he gets engaged in the most are the things he has to put his hands on and come up with a solution for. And those are the things he comes home and he talks about and talks about and talks about. And he came yesterday and he drew all over my board with something scientific And I kind of tuned him out a little bit. I don't even remember what it was, but he was so excited about it. And he was asking me if I knew how this worked and why. And he's drawing figures and diagrams and doing some sort of problem. And I was like, okay, wow. And I loved it. I loved that he got excited about something. And that's how we want to make kids feel. And we want them to love school. It shouldn't be where they're putting their heads down or anything like that. They should come in and just be excited to see what you're going to do next, right? But with all that said, I want to say this too. Community. The teachers who stay connected to each other are the ones who I think become less stressed out. And over time, you know, they just are able to adapt better. So what I want us to work on while we are making this push for Quad D is to also make a push to stay connected to one another, which I know sounds like one of those impossible problems because when do we have time? Our off times are not necessarily the same as, you know, another grade level or a friend. And who has time when you go home in this world that we live in to do that? So I want you to make sure that you've got a good teacher community here, but also look online. There's places everywhere. There's teachers' blogs. There's Facebook groups. There's Twitter groups. I'm sure there's Instagram stuff. I just am not good at that. You know, with teacher community where you can ask a question and you can find answers and things that other people are doing that work. But I want you guys to be able to do that here as well. I want you to, on Friday, as long as everything goes to plan, I have hired a sub. And that would be this Friday, October 1st. I've hired a sub, and she and Mike and I are going to come around, and we are going to try to relieve some of you so that you can take a few minutes just to visit with one another and to rebuild that community. Again, if everything goes according to plan, if we end up having to use her in someone's classroom, then we'll have to table this idea. But the plan for right now is I want you guys to be able to stay connected with each other too, because that's just as important as everything else we do. So we're going to try to carve out just a little bit of time for y'all just to visit. Don't bring papers to grade. Don't bring anything else. Just bring good conversation. And thank you guys for everything that you do for us.